too.
Hi, everyone. I think we have a quorum. So I'd like to welcome you all to the Manhattan Community Board 4, our monthly meeting, the second meeting of 2019. I was totally just short.
I was sticking up a finger. Now we're fine.
We're fine. And we're not taking any votes yet. So it's okay.
Wendy puts us over the top?
Yes.
Go, Wendy.
And first thing, if anyone wants to speak at the segment for public speaking, please sign up in the sheet that we have in the back of the room. With Wendy, Nellie, and Janine. And before we get there, before we begin the agenda, our district manager has an announcement. Jesse, the district manager.
Thank you, Bert. I just wanted to say two things very quickly. So I was away for the last 6 weeks on paternity leave, and thank you very much.
You're not clapping because you were away.
I assume you're clapping for my wife, actually. I had very little to do with the last 6 weeks. I just wanted to do two things. I wanted to thank Nellie Gonzalez and Janine Pretente immensely for running the office and doing an amazing job. Honestly, I heard nothing but great things while I was away, and then I came back and everything was running so smoothly that I didn't feel like I had to be here, and so I'm leaving. No. But second thing, I just want to very quickly say I'm very grateful, and me and Dana and Lev are very grateful for the generous gift that you guys provided us. He'll be cozy with the clothes, and he'll be well read for at least 2 or 3 months. So, and then I'll come back, and we'll have to resupply. So thank you.
Thank you.
Great name. Thank you.
Okay, our first item on the agenda is to
listen to the public.
Public session. Nellie. Our public session is facilitated by our first vice chair, Lowell Kern.
We have 3 people signed up, so why don't Bobby, Chris, and Michael come on up? You get 2 minutes each, and I'm timing you.
Right there.
And then I'm going to run you off. Please introduce yourself, but your time doesn't start until you actually start speaking about whatever you're speaking about. So, Bobby?
Thank you for your time. My name is Bobby Vangelatos. I am the Deputy Center Manager at the Chelsea Recreation Center. I just wanted to come here this evening, let everyone know that this week, our center and every Parks Recreation Center is having an open house. It goes through Saturday, meaning anyone, member or not, can come out, try the facility. Any classes that we have, you're free to join. Any rooms that we have, weight room, cardio room, basketball court, they're free to join. They just need to fill out a waiver. And also this Friday from 6 to 8 at the Chelsea Recreation Center, we're also having a free Learn to Tango event. We're tying it into Valentine's Day. So you can come with a partner or you can come alone and find a partner. So thank you for your time. That's all I wanted to say. And I left some flyers in the back if anyone wants.
Are the renovations done?
The renovations in the main locker rooms are ongoing. The pool is back open. But the first floor locker rooms, those renovations are going to go till about 2020, unfortunately.
The pool is open.
The pool is open, yes.
Question about the elevators?
C.
Elevators are back to normal. They were just out for 2 days, so everything's back to normal with that. Okay.
This side.
Anything else?
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time, everyone. Thanks for coming. No problem.
My name is Chris Mills, and I am the pastor at One Community Church. And first things first, when given the opportunity to do anything that she wanted to do for her birthday, my wife said we're going to go to the community board meeting. So happy birthday to Sarah. just want to tell you about an event that we're doing in the community. It's a community arts engagement on March 3rd and March 4th in the afternoons. We're going to be at Matthew Palmer's Park and also Hell's Kitchen Park with coffee and refreshments. And we're going to be building a community art project together for those that want to come out and be a part of that. The purpose of the event is really for us to identify needs within the community that we as a church can help serve and get behind. And so just everybody that wants to come and be a part of that, you're welcome. We're also collaborating with Charleston Southern University to make this event happen. That's March 3rd and March 4th on Sunday, the first Monday in March on the afternoons there. We will have some OCC, One Community Church cards, on the back table, so if you want more detailed information, just take one of those with you. It has all of our contact info on it. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to speak.
Where's your church located?
We're on 45th Street, just meeting out of our apartment right now. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Michael. Good evening. My name is Michael Steadman. I'm the Market Operations Manager for Down to Earth Farmers Markets. We operate two farmers markets currently in Community Board 4's vicinity, one in Chelsea on 23rd Street between 8th and 9th Avenues on Saturdays in spring through fall, and our newest one in Hudson Yards on Thursdays in 34th Street once more spring through fall. If you'll notice, there's on item 18 under the Transportation Planning Committee on the agenda, that vote is on behalf of Down to Earth Markets for allowing our vendors to have sustainable parking in the area on Thursdays this spring through fall on a street that doesn't have parking regulations as of yet. So I would encourage you to kindly vote in favor of our vendor parking so that we can have a wonderful sustainable farmers market for the foreseeable future. And I'm more than happy to answer any questions after the community board for a meeting if you would like to speak with me. Thank you so much.
Is there anyone who did not sign up that would like to speak? Bert, the show's yours again.
Okay, thank you, Lowell. The next item on our agenda is the adoption of the agenda. Does everybody have a copy? Everybody on the board have a copy of the agenda? Any suggested changes, modifications? Do I hear a resolution, a move? I move that we adopt the agenda. Any second? All those in favor? Okay. All those opposed? Abstaining? Okay. Agenda has passed. Minutes. Everybody read the minutes? Any changes to the minutes? Deletions? Omissions? Do I hear a resolution?
Move to adopt.
Second.
All those in favor? Opposed? Abstaining? Minutes adopted. Thank you. Brian Lewis, representative of our borough president, Gail Brewer. Come on up.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Brian Lewis, the community liaison for the Manhattan Borough President. Just to give some quick announcements and updates. So one thing I want to talk about is the DCP mechanical void text amendment recommendation. The Department of City Planning is in the process of formulating a text amendment to address the egregious problem of the abuse of mechanical voids to increase heights on buildings. So our office and affected community boards, which includes CB4, we're going to have an opportunity to provide recommendations on this text amendment, and our wonderful land use person, Lizette Shaparo, will be working closely with the community board in developing recommendations. Time is short, unfortunately, so we do have to kind of work on this this month and into early March. Secondly, we joined with Congressman Nadler and a couple other elected officials in writing a letter to the USPS, United States Postal Service, expressing our dismay and our concern about the pending move of the post office facility located at the Port Authority Finance Station, which is the Google building on 9th Avenue specifically. Basically, we are asking to restart the community engagement process because we don't think enough due diligence has been taken in that regard. Moving right along, community board applications. There's still time to send in your application for the community boards. I have paper ballot applications in the back. The due date is this Friday, 5 p.m. if you're submitting online. It has to be postmarked by Friday if you're submitting the paper ballots. That also segues into, there are still some members of the board who have not reapplied. So if your term ends in 2019, you have less than 48 hours to reapply. And you will be getting an increasing amount of annoyance from me over the next 48 hours. So please do submit it if you can. And I'm happy to take any questions you might have. And then the final thing I just want to mention really quickly is the State of the Borough address. Gail Brewer gives an address on the State of the Borough every year, I think. This next one is coming up February the 24th. It's going to be held at NYU Skirball Center. Doors open at 1 p.m. and it should last from 2 to 4 p.m. And my time is up. Short this time. Any questions?
I tried to reserve a spot for that, for the Manhattan Borough. And
they
told me that I couldn't. So is it still open for people?
The link doesn't work, is what she's trying to say.
The link doesn't work. Thank you for notifying me. We've been having some technical difficulties. Just give me your information. I'll make sure that we get you signed up. And I'll take that back to our office, because that should not be the case, to my knowledge. Also, just really quickly, the leadership seminars are coming up as well. So if you get an email from Aldrin, do sign up for that. Now,
are we required to do that this year?
So there were there was some confusion about
last year.
Yes. So there's one training we offer in particular, the conflict of interest and ethics training. That one it's mandatory every 2 years. But we can, you know, if it's an issue, we can talk with you about that and find out something that works.
Real good. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Bob.
On that subject, will there be later dates for that training? Because I wasn't able to make the dates that were posted that Alfred mentioned.
Both of those dates?
Yeah, neither of them.
If you have Aldrin's information, you can contact him directly or come and talk to me. We'll work something out. Anything else? All right. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks.
Thank you.
What we've structured, for those of you who are here for the first time, the next section is reports from the representatives of our electeds on the state level, on the city level. But we'd have to spend the whole night if they all reported. So we alternate. They take turns. So we don't hear from all of them every meeting. So tonight we hear from two. We hear from Carl Wilson from Corey Johnson's office, and do we hear from
Erica?
And okay, Erica Overton from Linda, Assembly Member Linda Rosenthal's office. Oh, Taisha. And so we hear from Taisha from Senator Brad Holloman's office. Carl, we'll start at the local level, or at least currently the local level.
So, good evening, everybody. My name is Carl Wilson. I am the Board 4 liaison for the Speaker of the City Council and Acting Public Advocate, Corey Johnson. Tonight, I just want to start with some pretty tough news. On Monday, on 45th Street and 8th Avenue, a cyclist was struck and killed by a truck just before 6 o'clock in the morning. His name was Joseph Kiam, a 72-year-old from the Lower East Side. I just came from a vigil at that, and earlier today we spoke with Midtown South Precinct, who informed us that a suspect has been identified, and arrests will be made shortly. It's unclear exactly what charges will be at this time, and Midtown North and Midtown South Precinct are conducting joint outreach and education operations at that intersection, and when I was at the vigil just a few minutes ago, I did see them there doing that, and you know, it's just a really stark reminder of how much work we have to do to protect pedestrians and cyclists in our streets, and I just want to commend this community board for all of your tireless work and activism to make sure that happens. Some updates. The most recently, we had a sanitation and a sanitation and Department of Health and Parks agency briefing with every with a member of every block association in our district from Canal Street up to 63rd. And we had representatives, their presidents mostly, that came and heard from the agencies on best practices for rodent prevention and to keep the sanitation nice and neat. And our hope is that they will take that information, head back to their block associations and share that, and a way to build relationships with the agencies so we can really get our hands on those problems. During the day, we have a population of nearly 2 million people in our district, so sanitation is always a problem. But we're really well, we hope to continue to build off of that at that meeting. And one of the ways we're doing that is having a workshop of how to build a block association, which will take place on March 7th at the Greenwich House Senior Center, which is down in the West Village. We will be doing that with a citizens committee, and that will be on March 7th from 6:30 to 8:30. Two more events coming up. We have our annual community resource fair, which will take place at John Jay College on the 12th of February on the first floor. Free blood pressure tests, vision screening, and flu shots, along with tables from city agencies and local nonprofits and other resources. And then finally, something I'm very excited about because I live on the block where this is happening. There will be a new green space in Hell's Kitchen where we will begin to have our first scoping session for this on Tuesday, February 12th from 6:30 to 8:30. That makes me think I messed up the date for the resource fair, but the flyer's in the back.
I think it's on the 13th.
It's on the 13th.
So that's what I messed up.
Yeah.
Okay.
The resource fair is on the 13th.
Great, thank you, Dale. Yeah. So that'll be on the 12th at Urban Assembly School, which is on 49th Street. So please come if you live in Hell's Kitchen area. We'd love to hear what you'd like to see in that park. It's very exciting.
Where's the park?
Oh, excuse me. Great question, Christine. The park is on 10th Avenue between 48th and 49th Street. It's currently a vacant, vacant lot. It's
that
a DEP shaft site. And, I lived down the block, so it's going to be great for me. Anyway, that's all for me, folks, if there are any questions, yeah.
Was there any indication yet that the truck driver was aware of the accident, or?
So the precinct was not able, so the case goes beyond the precinct level when it's a fatality. It's with their collision unit. Thank you, yes. And they said that it will be up to the DA on how they want to proceed with charges, but it was not clear.
So no facts are known yet on that?
Correct.
Right, okay. Thanks.
Anyone else? All right, thank you guys.
Yes.
Thanks, Carl.
Thank you.
Erica from Assemblymember Rosenthal's office.
I'm Erica Overton from Assemblymember Linda B. Rosenthal's office. She is in Albany, so she cannot be with us tonight. I'm sure she would rather be here, though. But it has been a very exciting time in Albany right now. It's like Christmas and Hanukkah and every other holiday. We are getting everything we have ever wanted. The assembly member was very excited. Last Monday, her bill, the Child Victims Act, was passed by both the Assembly and the Senate. And Senator Brad Hoyleman is the co-sponsor in the Senate. And so after 13 years, it finally passed, and the governor is going to sign it. Essentially, the bill extends the statute of limitations for people who are now adults who were abused as children. And so I believe the statute of limitation was 18, and now it is 55 for criminal and 23 for, no, I'm sorry, civil for 55 and criminal 23. And so we are, and there's a one-year look-back window. So anyone whose statute of limitation has completely expired, you have 1 year to form a case and go to court. And so we were extremely thrilled. It's a very powerful piece of legislation and one that she is extremely proud of. They also voted on Tuesday. There was a gun safety package, and her bill was passed by both the Assembly and the Senate for the first time, and it creates a municipal gun buyback program. So that was quite exciting. So that was another good win. And then on a local level, I'm going to piggyback off of what Carl had said. Over the summer when we were out and about, we did a sanitation survey because we were getting so many complaints of people just saying there's garbage absolutely everywhere. So we walked up and down the blocks and we marked all the places where there was just overflowing bins and tons of garbage just on the street. And we wrote a letter to DSNY with all of those locations and said, what is going on? Why is there so much garbage now? And so they revealed that they had been removing garbage cans so that people wouldn't litter. It did not work. So they said, oh, we're hoping that people don't litter, and so we're removing the garbage cans so there's less of a chance of that. So, no. But we are doing a walkthrough with sanitation, and so if you have any new locations that you want to bring to our attention, we are going to continue. We've got a lot of bins back. We put them back where they had belonged, where they had been removed. There were corners with absolutely no coverage whatsoever. So we are in the progress, in the process of getting those bins back. So if you have any bin locations that have been taken away, let us know, and we will go back on our crusade, our sanitation crusade. But that is all from us, but thank you. If you have any questions, let me know.
Thanks, Erica. Erica, that was the same tactic that they tried in the MTA. That you would have thought they'd learned from that.
Yeah,
right?
The MTA's tactic is you don't need bus service. We don't have. You're not riding the bus.
No, they took the bins out of them.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, but yes.
From Senator Holloman's office. Hi. Welcome.
Hi everyone, can you hear me clearly?
Yes.
Perfect. So my name is Taisha Menagros Clark and I'm with Senator Brad Hoyman's office. I'm really excited to be here today, especially because, as Erica beautifully mentioned, things in Albany are gorgeous right now. apart from passing the Child Victims Act, in the Senate they passed the GENDA. So Gender Expression Non-Discrimination Act, which was an amazing feat. And in addition to that, there is a ban on conversion therapy, which is also amazing, even though we're trying to work with Google to get them to get rid of their conversion therapy app.
What?
Right. But, so there's a lot of things that are going on in Albany right now that are passing, which is amazing, and we want to continue sharing with you everything that goes on. More locally, on the women's building, we know that the land use committee meeting was interesting, to say the least. But it was really an opportunity to know what's happening. And so it's something that we look forward. There was a meeting, another briefing with everyone to know what's going on. And we look forward to those continued conversations wherein we can discuss and make sure that everything that comes forward to this community is that's an asset. And then lastly, I'm trying to be brief. On January 30th, the Panel for Educational Policy voted to resit and co-locate City No within PS 111. And we hope to work with the parents and the community at large to make sure that everyone's needs are met and that everyone's concerns are addressed. So we look forward to having that dialogue with everyone. We continue to do some housing cases and tenant work, so if you are experiencing any tenant harassment or things of the sort, feel free to give us a call or drop by. So we always welcome the community. So thank you very much.
Okay. That is the end of this month's electives. Mon?
One, two, in there. Allow one more public
speaker. Sure.
That's up to you.
They came in late?
Yeah.
Okay. We have some wiggle room on the agenda.
Thank you.
Good, I can be in the middle.
There you go.
You want the mic?
That's okay. Don't worry about it.
Okay. My name is Marla DeFay, and I live at Ghost Kitchen.
400 West 43rd Street. I have been part of the accessibility of business for years. Last year, I raised the issue here and volunteered to help out with the small business in the neighborhood. We'll help businesses in the neighborhood that do have ADA compliant access for wheelchairs. We counted 107 between West 34th Street and West 57th Street, along with 9th Avenue and 8th Avenue, from Empanada Mama to Metro PCS to liquor stores to hardware and barber shops. I speak as a board member of the Disabled in Action, ADA, who give anonymous support to volunteer to distribute guidelines to businesses. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Our district manager, he has a report now.
I'll be very quick since you guys give me the privilege to speak first. Just for the month while I was away during January there, then some of December, there was plenty going on, but I'll just speak on two things that the office staff attended on behalf of the board by themselves, which was Assistant District Manager Nelly Gonzalez attended a walkthrough with small businesses impacted by the 9th Avenue DDC Water Trunk Main Project. I think a number of recommendations are going to come out of that walkthrough, not only for that particular project, but how these DDC projects get rolled out in the future for small and the impact they have on small businesses. Very little is thought into how much that impact is going to happen on walk-in traffic and things like that. And so hopefully some recommendations will come out of that. And then CB4 Associate Janine Pretente attended a briefing on the revised L-Train renovation plan, as we all know, has some major changes happened there. For February committee updates and board reminders, Clinton Hell's Kitchen Land Use Committee will be being held on its normal date and time, but we'll be meeting in a new location for us, at least 322 West 48th Street, which is local 802, their local 802 building. And then CLU and Housing, Health, and Human Services will be holding a joint committee on Thursday, February 21st at 6:30 at the 353 West 30th Street. All other committees will be meeting at their regular times and locations. And I'm done.
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 Cool.
Great.
We may have a record tonight.
Oh, I see.
What? Looking at the clock and thinking, hey, B.
You were away, I got us out of here by 8.
That's
true.
Let's stop talking. Let's keep on going.
It's taking up time. It's taking up time. Okay, this is my report, the chair's report. I'll be brief also. First, we heard mentioned that Corey Johnson is having a resource fair. It will be on February 13th from 6:30 to 8:30 at John Jay College, across the street up here. And we're going to have a booth there. We're sharing that booth with CB7. And we need some volunteers to staff the booth. So don't everybody raise their hands all at once.
Who's going to send us an email, right?
Yeah.
Say what?
What's the date and the location?
It's February 13th, which is a Wednesday, which is a week from this Wednesday. And the location is John Jay College, across the street here on 10th Avenue. It's 6:30 to 8:30. You got to be there a little bit earlier than 6:30 to set up the booth. The major item in our booth is our banner, Manhattan Community Board 4. I don't know if CB7 has a banner, but we do. And to be there, you know, as people go by who ask questions about who is CB4? What do you guys do? Where are you? What have you done for me recently? So if you're interested, we had a booth last year. It was very successful. Lowell staffed the booth. Jeffrey staffed the booth. They were inundated with community members questioning them. Unfortunately, they can't attend this year because
You're sending us somewhere else.
Who's that?
They are going to, and we hadn't mentioned Robert this, Davis. Or did we? No, I think Carl might have mentioned it. Hell's Kitchen, which we have been trying to get parts of Hell's Kitchen designated a landmark district, has been spotlighted by the Council of Historic Districts. Is that the proper?
Historic District Council.
I'm a little backwards. Historic District Council, and they're having a meeting on that night at that time about the Hell's Kitchen proposed historic district. So Lowell is going there. Jeffrey will be there part of the time. Unfortunately, it's the same night as the Clinton Hell's Kitchen land use meeting and the district resources there, so we have a little conflict. So those who would like to staff it, we only need, say, two people. So you and your best buddy from the board can staff it. Just speak to me after the meeting. The census. You may be aware that the Constitution of the United States says we must have a census every 10 years. Count the number of people in the United States. Count the number of people in the United States. So the definition of a person, of course, when the Constitution was written, is different than what the definition is today, but it's still count the number of people. So the city has created an office to make sure that our response to the census is as best as we can do. The most people get their noses counted. Because it's critical by that count, because for the next 10 years, representation in the House of Representatives, the division of many, many kinds of federal aid and assistance is determined by nose counts, but from the previous census.
Have babies.
I've had. And they better be counted. We're going to have a presentation maybe in March, maybe in April, from the city at our board meeting, how they're gearing up, what we can do. Other community boards have created task forces on the census. We may want to consider that, we may not. But first thing to do is we're going to hear from the city and how they're organizing the forces. So that probably be either in March or April. Okay. I also want to say that we're having a task force on charter revision. If you remember, we created a task force. We will be having a vote on the recommendations of the task force. I want to bring you all up to date on what's going on with the task force. The coordinator of the task force is sitting to my left, Brett. Can you give us an update, please?
Sure. Yeah, and we're actually doing a little working group.
Thank you, Brett.
what did you say?
We're a working group, not a task force.
So we submitted our first drafts of revisions to the exec committee that was reviewed, and I got some feedback on that. So there's going to be a couple of revisions made, and that'll be redistributed. I think it's going to go to the full board shortly, I think before the end of February for sure, so that way there's time to review it. It'll be back on the agenda in February for executive committee for more discussion and any final edits, and it'll be in March for the full board to vote on.
All right. Thank you, Brett. So what Brett is saying, we will be sending out way before the board meeting, towards the end of February, way before the March board meeting, maybe 10 days before, so you'll have an opportunity to take a look at it and what is being suggested by the working group and the exec. Okay? We also created, or we asked for, and I don't even think we have a designation, working group, task force. We have just a couple of volunteers. Working group? A WG?
WG.
A WG on small business. And Chris, who's not here tonight, had volunteered, and we met with him, I met with him, coordinate. he's exploring with, he's sending out, I know, a number of emails, asking people for ideas. What we eventually would like to do is, one thing, have a business of the month on our website, announcement press. That would be include businesses that have been longstanding in the community, businesses that fulfill a function of creating the environment of why we like to live in Hell's Kitchen and why we like to live in Chelsea. Also spotlighting those businesses that may be temporarily impacted by infrastructure, construction changes, like on 9th Avenue where the water mains are being dug, and all those businesses, access is difficult, but they're all open. They're all open and looking for custom and customers. Okay, Chris was going to report tonight, but he is not available. So we're waiting to hear from him. You'll be hearing from him with his suggestions. One of those other reps of one of those other electeds, whose turn is eight tonight. Introduce yourself and who you represent.
Of course. Hi, everyone. My name is Robert Adbury. I'm with Congressman Jerry Nadler's office. I'm sorry that I missed my turn. I was racing here. I was with Barbara down at another meeting about a new homeless shelter going in on 14th Street and some supportive services and trying to help allay some community concerns, which is really great. Now Chairman Nadler. Yay! We've had a fairly robust beginning to the new congressional session. Last week we started off with a hearing on H.R. 1, which will expand voting rights and restore voting rights and Voting Rights Act across the country. We had our first hearing was on that. Today we had the first hearing in eight long years, since Congress has held a hearing on gun violence in the United States. We held the first one since then today. It was a very contentious hearing. I encourage everyone to look up some of the things that went down. It is in support of covering H.R. 8, which is universal background checks and instituting them across the country. On Friday upcoming, we had Acting Attorney General A.G. Whitaker coming in to testify. We have been working very hard to make sure that he is able to come and answer our very specific questions about what he has been doing as Attorney General, whether or not he has been interfering with the Mueller investigation, as well as what information about the Mueller investigation he has shared within the White House and with the President and others. It is also expected to be quite an ordeal. Tomorrow, Chairman Nadler is requesting that the committee authorize him to issue a subpoena to A.G. Whitaker in case the acting Attorney General decides that he is not interested in answering our questions. We want to make sure that we have the ability to legally compel him to do so. Next week, we are having a hearing on family separation that's been going on at the border. Obviously, as this is an incredibly emotional issue and a true outrage, and that Republicans all through the last Congress refused to hold a hearing on, refused to investigate, refused to know. Obviously, if you read the newspaper, you'll be learning that the Trump administration doesn't have an accurate count of how many children they separated from the parents. They don't have a way to connect the children and the parents. And most recently in a court filing have indicated that they do not believe that it is worth the time or investment to find that and do so. So we are holding a hearing, and we will be making sure to hold them accountable for that. Because I'm mindful of everybody's time, I'm going to try to go a little quick. I know the borough president spoke about our collective effort on the Port Authority Finance Station. We understand that the post office is going to have to move from its current location. We are working to make sure those services stay in the neighborhood and that USPS is being a good neighbor and service provider in informing the community before they move. And then finally, the congressman just this afternoon joined with many of his colleagues to send a letter to the administration to demand information and demand an investigation into the horrific conditions that we went to see in person actually this weekend at the Metropolitan Detention Center out in Brooklyn. As you may have heard, this is the federal detention center operating by the Federal Bureau of Prisons that lost electricity and has had extensive heating problems that apparently go beyond simply the past week. when they were without heat and power. They had locked inmates in their cells without either, without light, no hot meals, no heat. They did not distribute blankets. They did not distribute thermals. They turned down the city's offer to distribute hand warmers. The congressman was able to actually help go and lead a delegation of other members of Congress to get officials in to see it. It is, frankly, a human rights abuses. It's absolutely horrific. It's something that we are demanding the administration both produce answers on and are exploring holding hearings on in Congress. It would be in, I believe, the Subcommittee on Crime, which is under the Committee on the Judiciary, of which he is chair. With that, I'm happy to take any questions. I don't. You know, I'm here. I work with you guys up here. I will go down. I do get to go down for some things. If folks are interested in going down for any of these hearings, you should always feel free to reach out to our office. We can give you information. They often have a line. You got to get there early in the morning. But I'm happy to make sure that you have that information on how to do so. All right? Thank you all.
Thank you. Okay, I'd like to move to committee reports. We start with BLP.
Hi, everybody. The remaining things on the full board agenda were all pretty non-controversial, so I think I would propose bundling all of them. 1 to 10. But I'll answer any questions.
Number 7. Yum, yum. 2. Will they continue them a sidewalk cafe?
Yes, this was just a change of ownership.
I know. I have a hard time going down 46th Street with those banners out that delineate the table. Could we stipulate that the banners disappear?
Well, they've agreed to our usual stipulation not to put unauthorized things on the sidewalk. So I guess what I would suggest is next spring, if you notice they're doing it, let Jesse, Nellie, or me know, and we'll follow up with them.
Thank you.
Any other
questions? Yeah, I have one question. Frank,
this is
not
a
two
sessions.
This is just a part now. Sorry.
Sorry about that.
Any other questions from the board to Frank, the BLP? So is there a motion?
Yes.
Because everything is bundled 1 through 10. I'm hearing on my left.
Second.
Motion.
Second.
And on my right, I hear a second. Okay, all those in favor of the bundled items? Opposed? Abstaining? Present not eligible?
Present not eligible for number 10.
Okay, one present not eligible for number 10. That was Morgan. Thank you, Morgan. Okay, thank you, Frank. J.D., Clinton, Hell's Kitchen, land use.
There are about four letters, I think, the first one is the Tenth Amendment. Pretty, no controversy about it. It's a big building going up. The lobby needs to be expanded, but they need to get a Texas amendment to do that. We're fine with that. There's no problem. So that's number 11, I think. The letters after that are extremely complicated letters. They are just
Any questions for JD?
And 14.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Yes. 14 is on Red 48th. It's a beautiful building, and the apartment building has issued permission to the owners for a new building, which essentially means you demolish the building. It's a perfectly good building in the preservation area. We jumped on that. We met with DOD. They withdrew that, and the good news is DOD, the Department of Buildings, is now going to redefine a lot of those terms they have used, which have allowed developers to go in and demolish buildings. So at the moment, it's good news. We will be drafting another letter next week out of the committee to encourage DOD to follow through on finally putting a stop to these illegal demolitions in the special district, in Hell's Kitchen and Chelsea. So that's good news.
Yeah?
JT, quick question. At one point, with all these illegal demolitions that the DOB seems to be just greenlighting,
yeah.
I had requested I had suggested that these letters also CC the state's attorney general,
sure.
Just so the state's attorney general is apprised of the situation.
Yeah.
Can we add that CC?
I don't know. That's
okay. I just want to commend the committee on the work, and in particular the chart, the unfortunate chart that you had to include in one of the letters listing all the sites. Which, when you say site, of course, it doesn't just mean a single building. Sometimes it can mean multiple buildings. And I wonder if it's worth at some point doing a standalone letter and not wrapping that into a letter about another site, but instead just, look, this is absolutely ridiculous, and it needs to stop. Look what we've documented already. I know that would be a committee decision, but I think it really merits standing on its own.
I do, too. Unfortunately, the writing staff of the committee has...
I guessed it.
...a couple weeks off, so I don't know if we can do that, but that's a very good idea.
A thought for when your agenda is light.
That's a very good idea.
And the budget is... larger so you can hire more people.
I think we've had an increased budget coming down with the charter.
That's
the musical comedy.
Now we're taking back, we need to start with
those letters about demolition was a very complicated deal put together. And then Joe, especially for all the housing comments, I think you've got a total of 26 affordable units out of this, and I would commend the owners, the developers who worked with us. So it's very good.
Motion.
Second.
All those in favor? Opposed? Absent? Abstaining? Present, not eligible? One present, not eligible? On 11. Thank you. Moving along to Dale and Christine, Transportation Planning Committee.
Sure.
Trans.
So the letters 15 to 20.
Are we going to be bundling everything?
Yes.
Any questions?
No, ma'am.
Move to adopt.
Is there a second?
Sure.
Yes.
All those in favor?
Yes.
Opposed? Abstaining? Present, not eligible. Okay. Thank you. Moving on to ACES, Arts, Culture, Education, and Street Life. We have one, item 21.
Yeah, any questions?
Two questions. We have Betty and then Marty. Mm-hmm. Two pen south.
I wanted to suggest that maybe this letter should be copied to Department of Education. Would that make sense?
That's a good idea.
Can you do that?
Marty?
I don't know if we know the answer to my question, but if we do, do we know which schools in our district are not compliant? And if we do, could we include that in the letter?
We don't have a list, I don't believe. Jesse, do we have...
We don't have a current list, but we can find out. We can find out.
Seems to me the letter's much stronger.
I think
which schools in our district are messed up.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, I will say I think there's also this clarity on initial access and then full access.
Yeah,
there's facilities within a school that you can have initial access into the school, and then there's gymnasiums and there's auditoriums and there's classrooms that then
steps
don't
steps inside the school that
steps inside the school, all sorts of things. So I think we might not be able to get that detailed at this point, but we could definitely get initial access.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go for the first one and the second one should follow.
Sure.
Okay. We can add that.
Okay. Any other suggestions, questions for the committee? Do I hear a resolution?
Motion.
So moved. Second.
All those in favor? Opposed? Abstaining? Present, not eligible? Okay. Thank you. Item 23 came out of exec. It's been there twice. Who wants to present on that one?
Yes.
Gail, thank you.
And I think, does everyone have this? Yeah, we presented this last month, but with the memo, I don't know if it's the latest version of the memo. There are some minor grammatical corrections that make it to this version that we've made. Essentially, the APA flyer for suggested and preferred approaches to accessibility for storefronts underwent a couple of revisions, or one set of revisions based on feedback from the mayor's office. They were largely about language use, like they prefer that we use people with disabilities, and also there were some nuances about the ADA versus city zoning versus district standards that were clarified throughout the text.
Any questions for Dale?
The changes were actually really helpful in clarifying some of the complexities of the issue.
Yeah. Okay, Marty?
To approve.
I don't know whether I'm looking at the... Is this the letter? So what I'm seeing is the first page that might be a letter, and then it flows without any comment into attachments A and B. And I just recommend that the first page be made a letter, and that A and B be attachments.
I believe this is actually a memo, and then this is the flyer. So
The memo needs to be a little bit more, excuse the words, letterized.
Well, it's not.
It's not a letter.
It's not a letter to anyone. It's a. If you look at the other policies or guidelines,
who are we writing to? That's
us.
To ourselves.
It's an internal memo.
It's an internal memo saying this is a new guideline for ourselves.
I didn't understand.
So it does. Yeah. It does follow a format that we have used when we did the business license committee guideline, when we did the sidewalk committee. You know, so it says essentially, this is what we have done, and we came up with the guideline, and here's the guideline.
And they'll be used internally, the guidelines?
Yes.
So when BLP, looking around, what's the parameters within which we're working, and what does the community board would like us to think about? These are the guidelines they'll have.
One of the issues
that came up in exec, you know, that we're not giving legal advice. We're not giving legal advice to anybody. But this is raising people's awareness, committee BLP's awareness. BLP is raising the awareness of people who are coming for applying for liquor license.
So a lot of what you just said isn't in the document, and just so the writers of the document are clear to this reader anyway, I didn't understand that it was an internal memo to ourselves, and maybe that should be clarified as well.
Okay, so we'll amend that. That's no problem.
We're adopting.
You just did that.
This is a company of policy.
I always like talking to my
people. Now you're talking to everybody. Everybody's hearing you and responding to you, Marty.
No, I mean, this is a document in which we are talking to ourselves.
Oh, I see. I'm just a little slow. We're referring to. Anyway, we have this document
and we vote on
giving some policy for ourselves. Did we vote on it already?
No.
Well, let's hear a resolution then.
Resolution. It's with your hand.
No. So moved. Second.
Whatever.
And those in favor of adopting this internal policy that gives us a framework within which to operate in the future? All those in favor? Opposed? Present, not eligible. Abstaining. I think it passes. We have a new policy. Okay. We have two items under new business. Item 24, about what's going to be what's being called the Women's Center.
No.
What is it?
No longer.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I am so far behind the times. Lee, bring us up to date.
This is the latest mistake in a 5-year process. I'd like to give you a tiny bit of background. As many of you, certainly in the knowledgeable part of the district, know, West Chelsea was a home to warehouses and dealing with shipping for the active waterfront. Chelsea was the home of the people who worked in those warehouses. This deals with the building on the southeast corner of 20th and the West Side Highway. For many, many years, it was the Siemens House YMCA. The state then converted it to the Bayview Correctional Facility. It was severely damaged in Sandy. We've been looking for repurposing. The Empire State Development Corporation put out an RFP. They awarded tentatively to a group called the Novo Foundation, a nonprofit, who sought to develop it into the women's building, which would be devoted to nonprofit uses supporting women and girls, both in the United States and around the world. We spent an awesome amount of time negotiating waivers, zoning waivers. In fact, my recollection is there are a total of 12 of them to get what they needed to do this. So we haven't heard from them in a couple of years. And they showed up at our Chelsea Land Use Committee and says, we've discovered that the program that we decided just can't be done economically in this building. Therefore, this is all very preliminary. What we want to do is we want to gut the building and then rebuild it inside, do something else. Well, we were absolutely stunned, which it says in the letter. We stopped listening. We don't care about the form of the building. And what has been important for us all along is the preservation of something about the building. The Novo Foundation is basing their use of this building on the fact that it was a women's correctional facility. Therefore, it has ties to something to be used for women and girls. For us, it's also important that it speak to its past with the west side, the working seaport. So we don't like the idea that they're going to gut it. I don't know if David's here, he would talk about
it. He's right.
Just to your right. Mm-hmm.
I saw this, and I put it in the letter, and I took it out. So they are proposing to literally put some things in glass display cases, and that's how they show the past. So Betty and I, following the meeting, arranged the meeting and went to talk to the two real estate people at the Empire State Development. And then on Monday, Betty and I and David and Pam and Bert and a bunch of people met again with the applicant, who have reiterated that they really can't do it. So this is our letter. I'd like to make two changes to it. First of all, we're going to have to work with these people going forward I've used the word strongly opposed in two places. I just like to take out the word strongly. It doesn't reduce the impact of the letter. And their rebuttal was they are, in fact, preserving. So I've rewritten it in a couple places to emphasize that what we're interested in is there has to be some part of preserving in place. What's the point of pointing to a women's correctional facility without showing a couple of cells that people, that women have to live in? What's the point of having this tied to the working waterfront without preserving the chapel, which is a marvelous thing? We accept that the basketball court is not going to stay. We accept that the pool is not going to stay, except that we definitely
murals.
Want the tiles, yes. Which are extraordinary, displayed in there. So I would like to make those two changes. This ultimately has to go to SHPO, the State Historic Preservation Office. What we're doing here, I believe, is making the first stage of our case to SHPO that this is not acceptable. We will have more opportunities to make that stronger, which we will. We're scheduled to hear from the applicant in 2 or 3 weeks. We're going to schedule meetings with Dick Gottfried and Brad Hoylman to reiterate. They already know how we feel if this letter goes that way. Happy to take any questions. Ken?
Yeah, my apologies. First, I haven't read the draft, but are you indicating that you're concerned about what happens in the interior, even if it doesn't show on the outside?
Yes.
That's how it shows.
Yes. What they're proposing is to save these lovely facades that maybe say Bayview Correctional, but don't have anything else to do with what it used to be. We're saying there should be some maintenance of what the building has been
in the interior.
We have a question and a comment. First question is, didn't they say they were doing an addition to the top of the building now?
What I have specifically done in this is I have ignored building form. I don't think it's time for that because they stressed that this was preliminary. We told them on Monday in our meeting what we thought of that, but I don't think it belongs in here.
So I just would like to lay out a marker on that to do a general statement that we oppose any additions to this building. Because since they have said it, it's important to sort of signal that out. And the second thing is we should note in the letter that the building has already been deemed to be landmark eligible by the commission, the West Chelsea EIS, just to note these things that sort of set the stage as to why these are issues. Because with SHPO, it's not only the exterior, but they will look at the interior too.
Is that a friendly amendment, Lee? Do you accept?
Yeah, I can accept that. That's fine.
Good.
Yes, so you know the YMCA fronts of the building, I understand the historic nature of those. The building is a women's correctional facility that dates to like the mid to late 60s. I don't think that's as historic and you know a cell, a holding cell is you can't really do anything with it. Preserving it just I'm not sure I understand the value of that. The real tragedy of losing the women's prison function wasn't about the interior of the building, it was the accessibility of visitation. So if there were family members who supported that's what we're having here. You know, if we're gonna push for anything I think related to the historic nature of the correctional use of it, I think it would be much more appropriate to try to find some way to have some sort of reentry programming, something that relates to the use as justice as a way of reentering into the community, something that's positive. But I think remembering the kind of holding cells that were built in the 1960s, I haven't seen them, but I'm assuming if they're holding cells built from the 1960s and old prison format like that, they're probably not.
But they've been very good politically and marketing future as a women's building, is what they're calling it, to its use as a prison. If they want to make that stronger, and they've hired some of the former women who have been incarcerated to work with them. So I think that part of it is there. But I personally think that losing all of the cells
it's not old time historic, but it is historic. Brad, when you met with the economic development team, let's say Nouveau, they said they couldn't afford it, the footings are too bad, they can't do it. Do they give it back? What's their time frame on that?
Okay. Nothing has been done to the building. In fact, Nouveau has been restricted in what they can do in terms of borings and stuff. ESV still owns the building. And the original plan was to do a long-term lease to Nouveau. If it is approved by SHPO, then they will sell the building. But none of that, so ESD still owns it, and ESD made it very clear they're perfectly happy to put it back out for an RFP.
I'm just wondering, we need affordable housing. I mean, or a school building. I just think, instead of keep going around and around with this, I mean, I know David and I, we said to him, I'd rather see you knock it down and give us something way better and bigger.
Right? Exactly. What we wanted to say and what we did say is, if this building doesn't work, go find one that does work. But for them, the magic is the tie for the mm-hmm. women's prison to the women's program.
So. One note. The thing with the cells and all the preservation, this is already a written commitment from Novo to the board. Yeah. So that should just be noted in our letter, and maybe there should be a footnote to that prior commitment, which is on our website. Because it's not as if we're pulling this out of the air. It's 2 years ago they said they would do all of this. They're reneging on an agreement. And the second part is to Brad, anybody who does anything in the West Side knows that that part of Chelsea's landfill. So that's a parameter.
Well, we said that to him there.
Period.
I did not know. You didn't know.
Of course. Right.
Just a comment. I remember looking at that building when I was on the committee a while ago. And as I recall, the floor heights were very, very low. And I'm guessing that
it's a mess. It's terrible.
Well, but that, yeah, a mess is one thing. But floor heights are very difficult to work around, and
sure.
Well, maybe not. He said they are, you said they're not. I don't know. What are the floor heights?
They're 10 feet.
Yeah.
Sometimes 12.
But what's the formula?
The common was
that might be one of the imperatives.
The original proposal was to build on the annex, the adjacent building, rather than on the main building.
Yeah.
And the conforming of the floors between the two buildings became an issue. One of the things I want to be very careful about is I'm happy to say all the things they promised. I don't want to tell them what they want to do. I want to tell them what we want. And say, you come back to us.
Okay. Well, you have to your right and you have to your left. Inga and you have David. I've been raising
hands. Inga.
So you want to take out strongly in both instances.
Yes.
Is this so that you have more opportunity to use it in the future, which you'll because you know my opinion, when they first came before land use, I thought they were full of something else.
It's a prevailing opinion.
They still are, and their intent was not what they said then, and now we see it. I would put strongly all over it, but I see your reasoning for not. Is that why? Is that because we do feel strongly?
Yes, we do.
Keep one. I mean, if you
want to
be reasoned.
I think we can make the point without using
the word strong.
I think it's 2 weeks. I'm happy to put it on the road back.
Okay.
Do you want to flip a coin?
I'd rather leave one strong.
Okay. David, did you have your hand up?
I did before. You know, a couple of things I'd like to point out. We proposed that to the Landmarks Commission of New York City that the building be made a designated New York City landmark, and the board voted for that, approving that request for evaluation. We never got a response from Landmarks, and that was 5.5 years ago. So in our view, the building is worthy to be a New York City landmark, largely because of its embodiment of the old working waterfront and the benevolent organizations that set up buildings like the old YMCA to benefit seamen. And also because the building was designed by the architects of the Empire State Building at about the same time, and it has wonderful terracotta panels and highlights and these beautiful interior spaces. and we were at the time concerned that the building would be sold by the state. A developer would knock it down and put up a very tall tower that would take advantage of great views over the river. So it seems like Novo has come up with an argument that the structure inside the building is. At first I thought they were claiming that it was faulty, but in fact the structure is intact. They're simply saying that the floor loads it was designed for aren't the same as the program they'd like to put in, and I'm very suspicious of this addition on top as being just sort of a version of what we were trying to avoid from the beginning.
Yes.
Just saving the shell of the building, which is classic facades.
One thing that is semi-relevant here is if the building were torn down, and it's, what is it, 10 stories or something like that, it's in sub-area D of the East Rush West Chelsea District. Height limit is 250 feet.
Yeah.
So they can build a much, much larger building.
Just asking you, because I really believe this letter is much more a political letter than it is a substantive letter.
Agreed.
So I think you need to reconsider the stronglies, because we need to telegraph to our elected officials and the governor's office who made this deal, which does not seem to have gone anywhere. It's just they don't know what they're doing, that we strongly oppose this.
Yes.
I just say it and just be done with it.
One of the things that we, I don't think it was said in the meeting, well, may have been, but we were talking afterwards, it really feels like a bait and switch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was.
What? First time we met these people, when we were the elected officials, they told us that they love your building and the swimming pool and all that stuff, because that's the place they would have fundraising for the elected officials. And that was the purpose of this building. So I don't see that anything has changed. They can have all the parties in the world, and I don't understand any of it. Except we know they don't have the money to do what they want to do. So this is a money issue. This has nothing to do with the building.
You're absolutely right. What has changed, according to them, is that they believe that the foundation can support a residential use but not a commercial use. And David had some nice questions for that. And it's simply a question, I'm sure, of putting in the investment.
Yeah, how do we make
it
happen? Right.
And they had a structural engineer there who seemed quite knowledgeable. David says she came from a very reputable structural engineering firm. As we found out in 404 West 20th in West Chelsea,
right.
Anything's possible
yeah.
if you want to preserve it.
Yeah.
And so we just need to make them understand that it's either going to be very expensive for their place or it's going to be expensive.
One more question, we've got to move to adopt.
Just a point of information. In your discussions with Novo, is the architect Deborah Burke, has she been participating in this?
Yes.
So she is still attached to this.
Yes.
Okay.
So they have Deborah Burke, historic preservationist, structural engineer.
They had everybody.
They have a lawyer.
They had a team at the meeting. I didn't do a nose count. I didn't do a count, but it must have been at least
eight or nine
to ten people from their side.
They tried
that's
out
where the money's
going.
Yeah.
They do have money. I heard there's a motion to a move to
move
motion.
To adopt.
Is there a second? So you got all those suggestions, Lee?
I do.
Okay.
In short,
all those in favor? Those against? One against, abstaining, present, not eligible. Okay.
So one last
thing. Then we have one last new business. Unfortunately, it's...
So you have heard we have had a very, very sad 25. Crash on 45th and 8th. Unfortunately, we don't understand exactly how it happened. Whether the car was the truck was on 8th Avenue turning or crossing is not fully clear yet. So we have been working with the DOT for doing two things. One is to improve the intersection that's also called mixing zones. We moved mixing zones and replaced them with something safer. So we are reiterating that in this letter. And then second, they have been promising us, we have a letter coming from Tony Tornberg, who said that they were studying the corridor from 47 to 34 to improve the bike lane. So we take this opportunity, unfortunately, to, you know, emphasize that we need those two things to happen as soon as possible.
Any questions for Christine on item 25?
Yes.
Dale?
We have some little typos.
There are a number of typos and a number of corrections that we did not get in time to be brought down.
We'll trust you.
Right.
Okay. Any questions? Do I hear a motion? A second? All those in favor? Opposed? Abstaining? Present not eligible, and I think we beat the record. Is there a motion to adjourn before 8 o'clock?
Vote sheets, please.
Oh, no, I don't have none.